Okay, everybody grab a chumash. I'm going to go to the third reading. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, the seventh chapter of Genesis, beginning from the 17th verse and onward, the Torah now describes the Mabul, the great flood that ravaged planet Earth. So the floodwaters came upon Earth for 40 full days. Now, yesterday we talked about the floodwaters beginning on the 17th day of Cheshvan. However, Rashi tells us that since it began during the day, that doesn't count. It has to start Leilo Imay, from the evening before. And so a full 40 days means that the 40-day narrative of the flood concludes on the 28th day of Kislev. The waters increased, it lifted the ark, and it rose above the ground. And in verse 18 we hear that after the rain ceased, Vayigbru Hamoyim, the waters miraculously surged on their own, increasing greatly over the earth. The Teva, the ark, drifted on the surface of the water, and Rashi explains to us that it was 11 cubits of its height remained submerged entirely that were beneath the surface of the water. The waters surged exceedingly high over the earth, over all of the high mountains, and everything under the heavens, so to speak, was covered. And the emphasis here about being it on the mountains is that the mountains were covered and the water surged 15 cubits above the mountains of the range of the Ararat mountain range, which is the highest mountains in the region. There is an opinion that the Mabul was only on Chatzi Kadr HaElyon, on the, what we call the Eastern Hemisphere, not the Western Hemisphere. There is an opinion that no humanity had made it yet to the Western Hemisphere. And so everybody who lived in the Mesopotamian cradle or beyond was under this deluge. There is also an opinion that in Eretz Yisrael itself, there were no geysers and no rain was falling. So in Israel, the rain that came kind of came from the sides, from the other countries around them, but not actually in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Bottom line is it made no difference. Everything was covered with water. Mm-hmm. And as a result, beginning from verse 21 now, Vayigva kol basar, haremis al haaretz, all flesh that moved upon the earth perished. Ba'if uva behema, be it winged creatures, birds, fowl, or animals, or beasts of a whole hasheretz, hasheretz alaretz, anything creepy that crawled upon the face of the earth, v'chol ha'odom, and this also includes all of humanity. Now, interestingly, Rashi does not comment on this verse, but it piques our curiosity. We have kind of things in a certain order. Vayigva kol basa. Why does it only tell us about the perishing of all flesh here in verse 21? The Bechor Sher tells us because everybody who had enough intelligence ran to the high mountains, ran to high ground. Animals ran to high ground. People ran to high ground. It didn't help them. The water surged. We'll hear about fish in a minute. Very good question. So, Gvia, incidentally, perished, according to the Ibn Ezra, means to die swiftly. There was no, once the waters reached, there was no contest. Why in this order? So the Malba maintains that this is connected to the strength or weakness of the animals. He says the weakest of the animals are birds. And so the birds perished very quickly. The animals shortly thereafter. And then the beasts who have the most koyach, they didn't last that long either. Even though they had run to the highest mountains most quickly, they eventually perished also. Even the creepy crawlers who could hide in or creep into different things which would have been protected ground, they didn't survive. V'chol Adam. Why does it say V'chol Adam at the very end? It's the last thing we hear about is humanity. Because people have intelligence and people can figure out ways to survive. Maybe some of them built watercrafts. Maybe some of them found a way to outsmart the rains, the flood rains. It didn't help. Nothing helped. Everybody died. Everybody perished. Now, The question might well be asked, why were the people punished? I mean, like, did they know better? Did they get the commandments to do different? You can't punish people without telling them. And most people will tell you, yeah, Sheva Mitzvahs, B'nai Noyach. Noyach got the mitzvahs. But this actually is a mistake. Because the Bereishis Rabba is very clear about telling us that Adam HaRishon received six commandments. We call it Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach because Adam HaRishon received the command, do not eat meat altogether. Or at least according to some opinions, roadkill could be eaten, but you can't kill an animal. Noach was the first one who was allowed to kill animals in order to eat them. And that completes the seven Noahide laws because one of the laws is not to torture living things. You can eat animals, you cannot torture them. However, with regard to the other six mitzvahs, Adam and Chava did receive a commandment about that. And they were aware of it. And the people knew what Hashem wanted. And yet, they rebelled against Hashem, and that's why they were punished. So all life expires. Verse 22, the Torah says, Kol asher nishmas ruach chayim bi'apav. Anything that had a breath of life in its nostrils. Mikol asher becharova. Everything upon dry land, mesu, they all died. Says Rashi, ruach nishmas chayim. He says these are not two different things. It's not that there is a neshama and there's a ruach, a soul and a spirit. He says it means the neshama shel ruach chayim, the soul of all living things. It's one thing. So nishmas ruach chayim means the soul of living things is what we refer to. All of that died. Asher becharova, emphasis on what was on dry land. Says Rashi, v'le dogim shabiyam. But the fish, they did not die, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us on page 108. And what happened then? Vayimach eskol hayikum asher al pnei ha'adamah. All of existence, all of life, as humanity had known it, as we had known it, which is on the face of the earth, all of this, every living being, everything was liberated from the face of the earth. Me'adam ad behema, from human to livestock. This includes also ad remes, ad eif, from reptile to bird. Oif ha-shamayim, birds who fly in the sky, vayimachu min ha'aretz, everything was liberated from the earth. Who remained? Vayishar ach noyach, only noyach remained. Vashar ite beteva, and who was with him on the teva. So what is the meaning of when we say vayimach? What does that mean? So Rashi says that it means everything was liberated. It doesn't mean that, as we would say, lashon vayifal, as if to say God was liberating everything. God was destroying everything. Any lashon vayifal, this is not an activity being done. This is a matter-of-fact narrative. Here's what happened. Everything was liberated. Everything was gone. V'hu migzeres vayifen or vayiven. This comes from the same tense, the same vocabulary as he turned, he encountered in a place, or vayiven, it was built. In other words, that here too, the word vayimach is telling us matter-of-factly what happened. Kol teva shasefa hei. Whenever you have a hei at the end of a word, game bono, macha, kana, bana would be build, macha would be liberate, kana would be acquire. Shehunesen, vav, yud, beresha, that it has a vav and a yud in the beginning, nokud bechirik tachas a yud, so grammatically speaking, it would have to have a chirik, an e sound, under the yud. And that's why it says, vayimachu. Vayimachu means, min hadama, they were liberated, wiped off the face of the earth. So everything's gone. Everybody's gone. Who remains? Ach noyach. Only Noach. So before we go to Pshut Lashon Mikra, I'll share with you something interesting. The Balei HaTosva say that Ach Noach, the words Ach Noach, have the gematria of 79. And that's because Aleph is 1, Chof is 20, that gives you 21, Noach is 58, 58 and 21, 79. So why is that meaningful? Well, because we have a Midrashic tradition that there was one of the giant creatures left over from the previous generation whose name was Og, the king of Bashan. And Og, Aleph, Vav, Gimel, is the numeric equivalent of 71. Ayin is 70, Vav is 6, and Gimel is 3, is 79. So Vayishar Ach Noyach, here the Torah alludes to the great giant Og, who actually, so to speak, remained on the roof, hanging onto the roof of the Teva, and the story goes that Noyach squirreled food out to him, and so Og remained there, couldn't get into the Teva, but remained on the outside of the Teva, and that's how he survived. Let's take a look in Rashi. What is the Pshut Lashon Mikra of Vayishar Ach Noyach? So Rashi tells us that from all living creatures, Levad Noyach, only Noyach survived. Meaning, in other words, everything, Noyach means what was in the Teva. Only what was in the Teva survived. There were no survivors. Nothing. Nobody made it out of this. Zehu Pshutei. This is the simple language of Ach. Ach means only, meaning the Torah statement is, nobody survived. Only those on the survival craft survived. However, the Torah, the fact that the Torah uses this verbiage is odd. It could just say, Vayishar Noyach, Vasharita Beteva. What's the Ach? What is the Torah trying to say? So therefore, Rashi feels that he must introduce you to a Medrash Agada, an Agadic teaching on the word Ach, as to why the Torah used the word Ach, to tell you that it's not only about exclusion of everybody else. Noach survived to the exclusion of all others. Nobody else survived. Only Noach survived. But the word ach is indicating or telling us what kind of survival Noach had. What kind of life he was left with. How were things on the teva? How were things on that survival craft? So Rashi tells us that the Medrash Haggadah says that ach means something which is it excludes or diminishes. And what it means to do is to diminish the life that Noach enjoyed. He didn't enjoy life. He was goyneach. He was constantly sighing out of pain. He was groaning out of pain. V'choy had dam. He was coughing up blood. In other words, he was in a very weakened state. And he did this mitoyrach from the incredible burden of habehemes v'hachayis, the burden that had been placed upon him in caring for his whole menagerie of beasts and animals and creatures who were living inside the teva. So that's the mention, the why we say ach noyach, because the word ach includes with it the idea of goyneach v'choy adam. It's kind of a conjunctive word. It's like you say in Yiddish, ach, you know, like a... things were not good for Noach. Noach was not having any fun. He was under enormous pressure, under enormous, enormous expectations from all the creatures around him, and he didn't have a moment to breathe, as they say. The Yeshayimrim, and Rashi says there is an opinion that the exclusionary terminology of ach comes to diminish something, to exclude something. That is to tell you that Icher Mezoinis La'ari, that Noach once came late to the lion, bringing the food. To bring the food that everybody needs to eat. The lion was not happy. V'hikishai, and the lion smacked him around to indicate his displeasure at having to wait for his meal. V'olav nemar, it is about Noach and circumstances like this that it's stated, that Shlomo HaMelech wisely states in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 11, he says, Hein tzadik ba'aretz yishulam. A tzaddik in this world, Hashem repays him, he gets recompense for his sins in this world, so that there's nothing has to be diminished from his reward in the world to come. So whatever Noach did that was where he fell short, he suffered for it here in this world, because he asked the question, poor guy, he's the only righteous person. The Eibishter chose him for a job, he didn't ask for the job. He's working day and night, he's coughing blood, he can't function, he can barely breathe, and he gets smacked down by the lion. I mean, like, what a behemoth. What a vildechaya. What is going on over here? Where's justice? It's not fair. How could it be so? So Rashi says this is the idea of Hein Tzadik Ba'aretz Yishulam. The tzadik is paid back and you say, hey, it's not fair. But the truth is that ultimately this is for the best, and the tzadik from here is able to go on to the full afterlife without having any of his rewards or demerits or virtues diminished. So we're going to finish off with an incredible lesson in Avodas Hashem that we can all borrow from Noach's playbook. The idea of Vayishar Ach Noach, that here was Noach groaning, coughing blood. Here was Noach being abused by the animals. And here was Noach, Vayishar Ach Noach. So the Rebbe says like this, page Kuf Chav Tes, here in the Burim book, Siman Tes Zayin. The Rebbe's comment is as follows. Kasher Adam Mis'aseik B'haspokas Mazen Ruchni. The Rebbe transposes this whole narrative, which is quite material and literal, when Noach is giving physical food to physical material animals who are physically, materially surviving a great genocidal flood that ravages the entirety of life on earth. So kasher adam misasik v'aspokas mazon ruchni, when a person might then, in the metaphor, be providing spiritual sustenance. And he's doing so for proverbial animals, namely people who behave like animals. Anoshim p'chusei erech, people who, relatively speaking, are like, animals. They're following every animalistic desire and craving, and they have very little refinement and very little decency, no appreciation. Anoshim shem b'b'chinas behemes v'chayes. People, you know, sometimes you say that guy is such a behema, or what a vildachaya. Sometimes that's how people behave like animals. At least b'yachas l'dargosai, for whatever level this person is on, whatever his level of refinement, his level of loyalty and devotion and commitment to Hashem, and you compare it with these people, and it's like a behemoth. Like these people are like animals. They're so spiritually unsophisticated. They have so little value and virtue. And this is a person who's doing what he's got to do. And v'hu niskal b'kshiyim, he's stumbling on difficulties, he's having challenges. And a person is frustrated. It's like, why should I do this for? Nobody even appreciates it. And the Vilde Chaya amongst them smacks me around. They just kvetch and complain. Nobody appreciates anything. So you have to learn from Noach. Noach fulfilled his mission b'chol ha'matzavim. He never quit. He never said, God, you feed your animals, I quit. Never. Not Noach. Coughing blood, collapsing, can't breathe, getting smacked around. He kept bringing food to the animals. He kept. He had a job to do. There was no other option. The show must go on. Even though it greatly compromised him personally, it came at enormous sacrifice. He's literally can't breathe. The guy's collapsing. He's spitting blood. Along with this, a person could say, well, if I'm to the point that I'm groaning out of pain, I'm spitting blood, well, then, you know, if I'm sacrificing, let them sacrifice too. No, it doesn't work like that. You can make demands of yourself. You cannot make demands of others. You can spit blood. You cannot have a moment to breathe, but you cannot expect it of others. For those for whom you're responsible, you have to provide for everything they need in perfect fashion. This we learn from the second interpretation of Rashi. Noach was punished. Why was he punished? He came a little late for the lion. Noach had no right to make expectations of the lion. The lion doesn't have to be Moshe Nefesh. He doesn't have to make sacrifices. You, Noach, have to make sacrifices. And if he came late to the lion, well, there's a little shortcoming. So Noach gets smacked around and doesn't have to deal with it later. For the other, a person has to be extremely demanding of himself. To be fully concerned for the needs of others, do not diminish anything. Do not roll back the service they need. That's your responsibility. With regard to yourself, you have to give up on every luxury. You have no right to have any expectations. Even things which are not luxury, but actual survival, things you actually need. Well, Siris Nefesh, more is expected of you. With regard to others, Olav Lesapik is Kol Machsedom. You have a responsibility and therefore a duty to provide them with all of their needs, Bishlemos, without subtracting even a single detail. And that, my dear friends, is the mission we were given. It's not an option. The show must go on. Keep on trucking. We have to bring Mashiach and have a cleansed new world, and that will only happen when each and every one of us does our jobs, difficult or not. That's all we get for today. Good Chodesh.